All right, good to see everybody tonight. And 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're up to verses 6 and 7 here tonight in our study. And so 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. So last week, we looked at three things to rejoice in when going through trials. So if you're in a difficult time as a believer, there's three things that you can find solace in or comfort in and certainly encourage your heart in. And so the first was to rejoice in your salvation. So verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope," a living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And as a believer, there's a sweet confidence. I've witnessed to people this past week and have already heard this week from people that say nobody can know. You can't know for sure, you know, if you're going to heaven or not. But we know that's not true. As a believer, if somebody's truly saved, there is a convincement of the Spirit of God that you have God's gift of everlasting life. And God's done a wonderful work there through our new birth. And so rejoice in that. And then rejoice in your inheritance. It says in verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And there's a lot of people living their life, even tonight, we'll see this in the text, for things that no matter what it is, it's limited to this life, and you just can't take it with you, and it's not worth living your life for. But praise God, again, as believers, especially if we're facing things for God, going through tough things, tests of our faith for God, like this text is speaking about, that there's a reward for that. And so that encourages us as we obey God, despite it's tough, you know, I'm going to obey God, that there it is rewardable. And so God's got that for us in eternity. And then rejoice in your eternal security. So no matter what somebody does to us, the worst they could do is hasten our escape from this life and send us into glory. But the security that we have in our salvation is eternal. It is not something that you can lose. Nobody has to be born again and again and again. It's born again. It's one time, and the Bible says in verse 5, "we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." All right, so praise God. We can rejoice even in time of trial. But I don't know about you, but I don't like trials. I'd rather just kind of have a normal day. How many of you understand that life's not normal, all right? You wish it was, you wish it was normal, but sometimes things crop up in our life that are a bit of a test for us or a trial for us. Yesterday was a little bit like that for me. Not too bad, but a little bit. And in fact, my wife kind of brought some trials into my life by accident. We were having breakfast, you know, and I sat down. I had my double sausage bagel, you know, sandwich that's there, and I've got my yogurt. You know, I just sat down. I'm ready to eat, and my wife asked me to adjust the tablecloth. You know, so I look down our long table. It's very big, and I'm looking down there, and I'm pulling it closer and closer, and I dumped my sandwich and my yogurt on me. You know, so there's a little bit of test there for me right away in the morning, and then I come back for lunchtime, you know, and I thought she was kind of done playing her practical jokes on me, and there was a chair that was in the living room, and it's not normally there, so I picked it up, and as I'm moving it, I said, "Why is this chair in the living room?" And someone says, "Oh, because Mom's gluing it." And then as I tried to let go of the chair, I realized that she had glued it because she glued the back onto it. And it's the kind of glue that I used to the top course of my new wall at my house. That's the same glue. All right, but thankfully it came off. You know, trials like that can be kind of humorous. Like, okay, I didn't expect to go through that. Didn't necessarily want to go through that, but I went through that. It's so okay. Other trials in life are a lot more serious. You know, as a child, this was probably more for my parents than for me, but as a 7-year-old, my kidney and the tube between my kidney and my bladder got constricted, and so this kidney started to balloon and get big, and I was in a lot of pain, and I had to have emergency surgery. You know, my parents take me into the Children's Hospital in Milwaukee, leave me there overnight for, I think I was there for 2 weeks while they took care of things. You know, I'm sure that was a big trial in my parents' life. You know, just for me, getting a concussion at 8 years old on my birthday as my cousin tried to stop the swing that I was swinging in and stop me. The swing kept going, and she held onto my feet, and there was tarmac underneath me, and I had a concussion. I got right to the hospital on my birthday. 11 years old, found out that our family was moving, and that we didn't know where we were going. And for 6 months, we traveled, and Dad would candidate at churches across the United States. And, you know, for me, I remember that was tough, you know, not knowing where we were going to be. For us, Katie and I, in our marriage, finding out Logan had to have surgery was a big one. You know, 6 months of age, he had to have major surgery. We were traveling and raising our support at that time. And then, you know, God took care of that, but waiting to get the support that we needed. It took us 4 years and 3 months to raise the support to get to Scotland and support our family here through churches in the States. And that was a trial. Recently, I wanted to see my grandpa before he passed away. You may remember this as he was ill. We were supposed to be back. We should have seen them, but COVID happened. And though we would have seen him 3 weeks before he passed away, I couldn't get back, and grandpa passed away. So there's things like that in life, and you know, it's just a trial. And I think we heard this at camp when we were there in Germany. The speaker said, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or about to go through a trial. And that's pretty much summarizes it. Life has its test, and we all face them. And so tonight we're going to consider things that you need to remember when going through a trial. What can I focus on? What can help me that I need to consider when facing a time of testing? And so Peter has some good things for us to remember in times of trial. So let's pray and ask the Spirit of God to help us as we come to the Word of God. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would help us. We're all going to face trials. It might be that we're in a trial. But certainly, life has its trials, and those tests come. And it's all right to acknowledge that and to see that as a reality. And some are bigger, some are smaller. I shared some of the bigger things, but many times in life, I guess the trials will be smaller than that. But nonetheless, they're going to try our faith. And I pray that the Spirit of God tonight would just encourage us in our walk with you, Lord, that we'd get a hold of what Peter is saying so that we could be encouraged in time of trial, encouraged in time of testing, to endure and be faithful. And last week, Lord, we looked at the things that we can rejoice in, and we can rejoice in those things. But tonight, the things that we need to think about that can help us through that test. Now, I pray for the children tonight. Thank you for the good group that's here to hear the Word of God tonight. Bless Mrs. Shore as she shares the Word of God with them in their class. I pray that they'd have good attention and there'd be a quietness in their hearts. And then for us tonight, Father, would you bless this service, I pray. Spirit of God, greatly encourage us in our walk with you. Help us to see, as Ken Ham says there in those videos, see life through our biblical glasses so that we can rightly respond in time of testing. And I can't speak without your enablement. I do ask that the Spirit of God would guide me as I speak, that I speak biblically, practically, lovingly, and powerfully the truth of your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so the first thing that we can think about when we face a trial is that trials are temporary. All right, they're temporary. And so the Bible does say here in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. All right, so trials are seasonal, meaning they do not last forever. I like the four seasons. I can't say that I like them all in one day, as we sometimes experience here in Scotland, but I like the seasons. I'm sure that's in your heart as well. Spring, you know, got new life, you know, as the earth kind of replenishes itself, and that those first flowers begin to pop out and the leaves come out on the trees, and a very refreshing time. Summer, you've got the sunshine, you hope, you know, like we did. We had a good summer this year in Scotland, and that's great. Praise God for that. But you got the long days. You could do a lot of activities in the summer. Outdoor activities begin to really happen, and again, that could be a great time. Autumn, and we're coming into it, aren't we? That freshness of the air and the colors beginning to change on the trees, and then the days getting shorter, and again, that could be a refreshing time, and then winter. And I'll say that winter is sometimes not my favorite. It is my favorite when there's snow, but if there's not snow and it's just dark and that, but I guess I'm getting old because I kind of like the fact that life slows down in the wintertime and you're not doing as many projects, maybe a little bit more restful and things like that. And certainly Christmas, we enjoy the seasons that we have there. And so we anticipate those seasonal changes, and sometimes we can get into a season, whatever season it is, and I'm talking about the seasons, the four seasons here, spring, too much rain, right? Oh, I can't wait till spring's past because it's just raining all the time. But we have that hope. Oh, summer's coming. We get into summer and we might begin to complain about the heat if it actually gets warm. And it's too hot, you know. And so we're looking ahead thinking, well, is this okay? Autumn's coming. You get to autumn and it's too much work cleaning up the leaves, you know. So then you're looking ahead again thinking, I can't wait, you know, for what's coming ahead. And then maybe you get into winter and maybe we get a good winter. It's too much snow. There's sometimes in those seasons of life, though there's good things, there's also tough things. So you're always kind of looking ahead saying, you know what? I've got hope because it's just seasonal. You know, that's really the way a trial is as well. Most trials that we face are not going to last the rest of our life. Okay? They're not going to be something that this is the way it is the rest of my life. Now, it might be, but in most cases, it's not going to be that way. It's kind of what the Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's, you know, we're going through something, we're like, this is never going to go away. I wake up, it's still there. Well, oftentimes, what part of our hope is that this is seasonal. It's not, there's going to come a point, maybe you've had COVID and you're like, man, this is lasting a long time. But, you know, there's hope that at some point you will be well. Even sometimes we might be overwhelmed with a trial, you know, we're thinking, if it does last, if it does continue, what about that? Well, sometimes what we're facing, we haven't really accessed God's grace like we can. And so even then, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace can meet the need, even in life, to encourage us. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, as Paul asked for a trial to be removed, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so it's tough. It's tough. I went past it. God says, no, but I'll give you grace. So there again, that's different. That's not the trial continuing because I'm accessing God's help in the trial. And so there's hope. And then obviously, ultimately, every trial that we face in life is going to go away. And as a believer, we're not going to enter into torment. We're not going to enter into eternity in the lake of fire. And so we understand that someday we're going to be in eternity with God. Someday we're going to have peace that will never be shattered by any sorrow, any heartache, or anything like that. It's what Revelation 21, verse 4 says when it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Don't you like that statement? For the former things are passed away. You know, a lot of times people will say to me, this is hell. This is hell. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about the trials. And I'll say to them, look, what you long for in life, what you desire in life, and you look at God and say, God, why did you make it like this? And we know it's like this because of sin. We understand that biblically. But what they are longing for is what God desires to give them in glory, and he has it for them, but they haven't repented of their sin and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But as a believer, we just go, hey, it's not going to last forever. And so it's good for us to remember, we come into a trial. Trials are temporary. There is an end point at some point. And so, the first thing. Secondly, trials are necessary. Trials are necessary. Notice what it says in verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. In other words, since this is happening, there must be an understanding in our hearts that God sees this as something that is necessary to allow into my life. I'm not speaking here about fatalism, you know, where you fall down the steps and you're like, oh, I'm glad I got that out of the way. You know, it was bound to happen. I'm not speaking about that, but I'm speaking about the fact that there is a God that is providentially over everything that is happening in my life. He's not lost control. He's not allowed, or nothing has been allowed into my life without his consent, without his awareness of it. And so he's watching over this. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, no trial, no test, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you. He will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, But will with the temptation, the test, the trial, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. All right? So if God's allowing me to go through it, then therefore God understands that this is something that is necessary in my life. Okay, so it's part of the will of God for my life. It's part of what God has for me. Think about the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was there. It was in front of him. It was something that he had to go through in the will of God. It was not an accident. It was not a random act. It was not the overpowering of the Roman in response to the jealousy of the Jews. It was that God had that for the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill his righteousness. And so John 19:11, Jesus standing before Pilate, he answered and he said to him, Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. In other words, he's in that trial, he's saying, God's over this. God's in control. I don't fear you. And Pilate had said, I've got power to give you life or give you death. And Jesus says, you've got no power at all except what God has allowed you to possess. You know, in college, I was going through a trial. And for me back then, it was very kind of the biggest thing I'd ever faced in my life and very difficult. And God gave me a verse here. It's actually in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. And it has three statements about God's oversight during times of testing. It says in 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. That's a statement of that God has allowed that God has put that there in our life. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. In other words, as I go through the trial, I could trust God. My soul is in the hands of God. God can have his way because God is faithful. And it says that as unto a faithful creator. And so God's not being unfaithful. God's not being unkind. I can trust him in that trial. Why? Because he has allowed that trial into my life. And so because God has allowed this into my life, I can understand this. It's for my good, right? It's necessary. It's something that God sees as beneficial to my life. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It doesn't say that all things are good. It's that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, that God is through that able to make me more what I ought to be if I respond correctly in the time of trial. Now, when I recognize that it has a good purpose, I overcome a difficulty, and the difficulty is bitterness, right? Because a lot of people, they could go through a trial or testing time, and they can say, God, why did you allow this? It's not fair. It's not right. But when you recognize that it's necessary, if need be, God has allowed this into my life, then I can do what the Bible says, and I can say, God, this, you know, Joseph is a good example. You meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. It's okay. And so because of that, I can then say to God, God, thank you. Thank you even for this. This is tough. This is a hard time, but God, thank you for even this. And so that fulfills what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I ought to be able to say to God, thank you for this trial. It's tough. I wouldn't choose this, but you've allowed this. And so I say thank you because, God, you saw it as something that's necessary. So remember, trials are temporary. They're necessary. And the trials are difficult. They're difficult. Verse 6, it says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. Okay, just because I thank God for it, it does not mean that it is easy. Okay, the word heaviness is the Greek word lupeo. It means distress, sad, grief, or sorrowful. It's what Jesus faced in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, verse 37. It says, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He's going through a trial. He's going through a test that is there. So a trial is a burden. Sometimes you might be going through your day and not thinking, and you just sigh, all right? And you're not sighing because you just went on a long run. You're not sighing because you lifted something heavy. You're sighing because there is a trial, right? There's something that is difficult. There's something that's hard. And so the way you respond to that is, Why? Because it's heavy what you're facing. Now, I'm not trying to make us feel worse here as we think about trials, but it's good for us to acknowledge that a trial is tough and to say what it is. I mean, this is not easy, and not to try to put on a show like this is easy. No, it's difficult, and I'm going through this, but I recognize that it is a trial, that it is a test. You know, Tommy and I, on yesterday, I guess, we enjoyed doing some evangelism in Edinburgh. And on Monday, as I'm driving into Edinburgh in the rain to do evangelism down Princess Street, I did something I don't remember ever doing before in Scotland. That's I walked into Sainsbury and I bought an umbrella, right? And I had an umbrella with me, and it worked really well. And so when I collected Tommy on Tuesday, he's going to go in with me, and we're going to do evangelism in Edinburgh. I suggested buying an umbrella, you know, and so I gave a commercial about the umbrella I bought at Sainsbury. It's great, you know, rubber handle, and you push the button and it pops open. It's a golf umbrella, nice size. It's black. It looks manly, you know, and all these important points. And so we stopped, and he bought an umbrella, and we're getting out of the car, and I'm getting the umbrella out, and I said to him, I said, why didn't I think about this before? And I said, I think what it is, it's that macho guy thing in Scotland where no matter what the temperature is, no matter what the wind speed is, no matter what the precipitation is, you walk outside in a short-sleeved shirt and you act like it's not cold, you know, or you act like it's not painful, but you suffer if you do that because you're exposed to the elements, but you're trying to put on a brave face and you're macho about it. You know, I think sometimes when we go through a trial, we can suffer because we isolate ourselves by not acknowledging the fact that we're in a trial. So we don't say to somebody else, maybe a brother in Christ, look, I'm going through it. It's tough. Pray for me. Pray for me. We don't get on our knees ourselves before God and say, God, it's tough. It's tough. I think we can almost kind of get that macho mindset, like, I can face this, I can do this, instead of acknowledging, you know what, I need some covering. I need some help. I need somebody to minister for me in this situation that I'm facing. So I think that's a good thing for us to stop and think about. You know, it is difficult. It is heaviness. It is a trial. And so we recognize that. And so trials are temporary. Trials are necessary. Trials are difficult. And then trials are varied. They're varied. It says in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Okay, manifold is the word motley, various in character, like a color palette that's got so many different colors that are there. Trials can be like that, very, very diverse. You know, God has made life very diverse. You see, even as you walk around and you never see anybody that looks identical to you, if you do see somebody that I guess is called a doppelganger or something like that, you know, they're not going to have the same personality. They're not going to have the same life experiences. There is incredible diversity within God's creation, and the same is true with the trials that we face. They are very diverse kinds of trials that we can face. And so it might be a health trial or financial trial, a relational trial, an emotional trial, a spiritual one, academic, employment, governmental. And I'm sure if you took a pen and paper and you started to think, okay, what kind of trials can I face? That even in those categories, there's subcategories and subcategories. And I mean, it just could be, as the Word of God says, manifold the different trials that we face. And so life is going to throw a lot at you, and you have to be able to overcome it. You have to be able to face it in the will of God and face it with victory. Back when I was a teenager, Nintendo came out, all right? I don't know, probably, Tommy, you remember when Nintendo came out, maybe, all right? Or your kids, maybe your kids do, all right? And so Nintendo comes out, and then Super Nintendo came out when I was later in my teen years, and then my gaming career stopped. I went to college, and that was it. But I remember playing Mario Brothers, and you know, it's a fun game, and you can get past a level, and then it gets progressively harder as you go along. And so you're facing different and various opponents, and every time you face a new opponent, you got to learn how to take care of that opponent. And so you progress by learning how to respond in different circumstances to get through the different levels that you're facing. You know, God has put us into life desiring partly to teach us how to overcome, right? Teach us how to have victory. Teach us that we can endure. Teach us that we can get through it. And so there's a process that's in our life. And I don't know that it gets progressively more difficult. I think sometimes it could be very difficult right away, you know, but that we learn from that and say, I got through that. I endured that. And then we can go on and we can face other difficulties in the will of God. Again, the Apostle Paul, he faced a great difficulty, but what he learned through that was to trust God with that. Again, as I'll read the scripture again in 2 Corinthians 12:9, where he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And the thing is, the greater the trial that we face victoriously, the greater enablement and grace we've received from whom? God. And so as I get there, it's like God is so gracious and God is so good and God is working through that. And yes, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to face next week. I don't know what I'm going to face next month, next year. But if I respond correctly in the situation that I'm in, then I'm better prepared to face the trials that I will face tomorrow. And so let's remember, they're varied. They're different. They're going to come in different packages. They're difficult. They're necessary. And they're temporary. And the trials are personal. It says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, right? It's personal. The trial of your faith. We'd probably like to, just say to God, "God, you don't mind trying? Let's try somebody else's faith, you know?" But the trial of your faith, that God is a specific test and it's a test for you. You know, as a parent, we'd like to take trials away from our children. You know, Katie and I have our kids right now. They're at that age of leaving the nest, and some of you have already experienced that. You know, of kids growing up and being out of the home. But sometimes you want to take a test away. It's hard, you know, watching a child get out of the nest and have to make decisions and have to trust God and have to depend upon God and have to see God step in there. And you're encouraging them to do some tough things. Move away from home. Go get that degree. You know, maybe go get that job or something like that. But and again, you want to take it away. But if you're a good parent, what do? You just go, "Well, you got to learn, you know. I love you. I care about you, but this is an opportunity for them to grow in their personal walk with God." You know, as God puts us through a test, I don't think that God is in heaven thinking, "This is great. I just love to see them suffer," and you know that He desires us to suffer. In fact, the Bible says in Lamentations 3, verse 33, "For He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." In other words, God isn't getting pleasure in heaven to look down and say, "This is great, you know, I'm bringing this test or this trial into this person's life," but that God has a wonderful plan through it that He's working out for that person to make them what He desires them to be. And so we can remember tonight that trials are personal, that God's working in a very specific way in our life to make us what He desires us to be. And so they're personal, they're varied, they're difficult, they're necessary, and they're temporary. And then sixth, I guess, here tonight, trials are purposeful. Trials are purposeful. Do you like doing things that are pointless? Anybody? you kind of, sometimes in life, you'll face those things. I was walking through the security on my trip to Ireland, and Edinburgh Airport, I guess, they had incredible queues for security. You might have seen on the news, the airport, things going on, And I could tell that they had them, I guess, because as you got to security, immediately as you walked in the barrier, you began a slalom course through these things that they've got put up, you know, and you're advancing about 3 feet, and you're going about 10 feet left to right, you've got to go 100 feet forward, and it's just back and forth and back and forth. And I'm just thinking, why couldn't some person come by that works here and just open, you know, up to the front, and when you need it, begin to bring it back, because it just seemed pointless to be doing that. Our family also, we went to France and Germany, but to get into France, we had to take COVID tests, and it was a pain, and, you know, it took time, took money and effort to do, but we did it, and it was fine, it was clear, but then we got to the security, and nobody asked to see it, and on the one hand, you're kind of thankful, but on the other hand, you work so hard, do you want somebody to see your certificate? You know, we don't like things that are pointless. Like, why did I have to face that? And I, what I, would like us to consider is that our trial is not pointless. It's not that it's without a purpose. And so what is God doing? And so a trial refines us to make us wealthy in eternity. A trial is refining us to make us wealthy in eternity. It says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. And so Peter's using a smelting illustration. Again, he's speaking about something that we think in life, it's valuable, gold. But in reality, gold is nothing when it comes to eternity. You can't take it with you. And so what God is doing, God is refining our soul. God is refining us with the fire. And just like that fire refines that gold until I've heard that they could see their reflection in it. Even so, God is refining us so that his reflection can be seen in us through that trial that we're facing. As you think about the treasure of gold, none of us would think it bad to suffer to try to get some gold. If you could really be sure that you're going to obtain gold, you'd be willing to go through some level of suffering to get that. And to think that God is allowing us to go through a trial, yeah, it's tough. But that God has a purpose and that God is refining us to make us valuable in eternity. I said, I think when I shared a little bit of testimony about the preaching in Germany that we heard, one of the messages that, first message that we heard as we got there was Jeremy Cochran and preaching on Jeremiah. And the text he was preaching on, Jeremiah saying to God, God, it's all going bad. It's horrible. Take my life. And he's just ready to just kind of all in. And as I'm listening to that message and I'm thinking about what he's preaching about, I wrote down in my notes this statement. Because he's speaking about how God is working in Jeremiah's life and how we sometimes think God wants to work through us, but that God is working in us. And I wrote this down. What if your ministry is not about your ministry success, but rather about helping you be a success in eternity? See, we think God, wants to reach a lot of people through me. If you do evangelism, you think, man, I want to see a lot of people get saved, and it's so tough, and I want to see them yield to God and see the church thriving. I think that's the heart of a church family, that